right, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33, verses 1 through 3. We'll start preaching on the subject of prayer, especially the idea of handle with prayer, all of our life, every aspect of it. We should be a praying people. Tonight we want to talk about, unveiling the hidden. Unveiling the hidden. Jeremiah 33, if you find your place, follow along. Beginning in verse 1, going through the third verse. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Then verse 3, the key verse, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, I believe God desires to make known to us the unknown, the things that we don't know about, that we need to know about. A lot of times, I'm afraid that a lot of Christians are satisfied with not even knowing God's will, not really pursuing it, not really having that great of care about really understanding and knowing and doing the will of God. Many times, we are not willing to wait for the will of God in our lives. And we have to learn to wait for the will of God to be carried out. And sometimes we're not sure God wants us to know, but God does really want us to know His will, and He wants to reveal things to us. That's what He said in these verses tonight that I've read to you. And this command, I think, addresses the different problems that I've already mentioned to you. One of them, when He says to us, first of all, call. That's one thing that we're supposed to do. Number two, expect an answer. Amen? Call and expect an answer. And then thirdly, God wants us to know the unknown. So call upon me, expect an answer, and let me show you the unknown. Now the background of this was Babylon was coming to overtake Jerusalem. The Babylonians had whipped the Assyrians. And Jeremiah knew that they were coming in. And God had told Jeremiah what was going to happen to them and told him about the circumstances. Jeremiah was not very popular. The leadership wanted to run to Egypt. Let's run to Egypt. Isn't it amazing how often we want to go to the world rather than go to God? Egypt is a type of the world. And all of the leaders of that area said, let's go to Egypt. Let's go. That's the logical thing to do. Let's go talk to the Egyptians. That wasn't God's will. That wasn't what God wanted them to do at all. And Jeremiah was so unpopular, he told them, let me tell you what's going to happen. The Babylonians are going to come down and they're going to take you captive. Well, that's not a very... What if I told you tonight, hey, I got news for you. Canada is going to take us over next week. And we should do nothing about it. We're going to be under their subjection, under all of their laws. Our Constitution will be gone. They're mucking with it now. But our Constitution will be gone. And we will be subservient to the country of Canada. Some of you would want to do exactly what they did to Jeremiah. Throw me in jail. You'd say, don't be talking like that. We're not going to bow down to any other country, and especially we're not going to bow down to the Canadians. Now, I don't hate or dislike Canadians. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just using that as an illustration. But Jeremiah was thrown into prison because of what he said. In chapter 32, in verse 3, the Bible says, For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, Wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah threw him in prison simply because he was preaching the truth of what God had revealed to him. He was thrown in prison. Now, how would you react to that? How would you react if you got thrown into prison simply for telling the truth? Well, let's look at what he did. He was encouraged to pray. And I want to share with you about three, very quickly, prayer principles in the time we have left. But he encourages him to pray, and I think tonight, whatever we're facing, God is encouraging us to pray. As a church, as a family, as an individual, God wants us to pray. So what does he say in verse 3? Call unto me. Call unto me. How many of you believe God hears prayers? Raise your hand. God really hears prayer. You say, well, I just don't see how he does it. I mean, how can he hear all of our prayers at one time and all of that? When in Virginia, when they have a prayer meeting, the men go before church and they all pray out loud. And when I first went there, I was like, what? What are you doing? You know, I can't hear myself pray. And finally I realized, well, it doesn't matter to God. And always the pastor would be the one who closed it out. Some of you people who've been to North Carolina and Virginia and some of those places, you know that's the way they do it. No problem. God can hear every last one of them all at one time. Amen? And he does. God hears our prayers. And he says, call unto me. Jeremiah was in prison. And he had plenty of time to pray, no doubt. But he had enough sense to pray. Call unto me. This is what God said. Call unto me. Now, he was in prison, but God allows some of these circumstances in our lives. God allows them. Maybe we won't be thrown into prison, but some other circumstances in our lives. You know why? He wants to teach us to talk to him. He allows many of these things to come our way to teach us and to show us how we are to talk to God. And here's the way most people would pray, most Baptists, God, get me out of this mess. Lord, get me out of this prison. Hurry up. I've been tithing, going to church. Why am I in prison? I've been praying before this. Why am I in prison? Lord, get me out of this. And most of us would prefer to avoid difficulty. We would prefer to avoid any kind of suffering. Human nature does not want to suffer. And our preference would be to avoid it. And so oftentimes we say, God, make me well. God, get me out of this. God, help me with this. God, just get me out of this circumstance and I'll do better. And so change our circumstance. Many times we spiritualize it. Change my circumstance, God, so I can serve you a whole lot better. Change my circumstance so I can show you how much I really love you so much more. Listen, you cannot bribe or fool God. You can't bribe or fool God. Notice that Jeremiah didn't ask to be freed, did he? He never asked to be freed. He didn't say, God, why am I in prison? And I want you to get me out of prison. Free me from prison right now. You see what he did? He waited to see what God would say. He said, hey, we've got a situation here, and the thing I need to do is to hear from God, to hear from God. And so he waited to see what God would say, and God said, here's what I want you to do. Call on me. You wait, and now you call on me. And I believe that that made a greater impact on him in the long run. You study it out, it made a greater impact on him in the long run than if God had just quickly gotten him out of prison. He learned something while he was there, and he learned the will of God, and God's will was for him to pray. God wanted that to happen in his life, and I believe it made a greater impact. Listen, God never allows difficulty just excuse me, for the sake of difficulty. God never allows difficulty just for the sake of difficulty. God has a purpose in our circumstances. God has a purpose to do that. He always has a higher purpose than we realize. If God allows us some difficult circumstances, he has a purpose in those circumstances. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And we can't always know what it is right away unless we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. And while we are waiting, we must have faith. We must believe in God and have faith in what God is doing. Now, that's the thing we don't like to do is wait. Waiting is hard. We're used to everything right now. Instant this, instant that, McDonald's, everything. And if they don't serve you at McDonald's quick enough, you get all bent out of shape. This is a fast food restaurant. We ought to have that a lot quicker than we're getting it. We're just used to that kind of thing. That's the way we are. And waiting is hard. And sometimes, rather than to seek God's face and wait on Him, you know what we do? We go to friends. We go to relatives. We go to seminars. We go to books. And all of that, instead of just waiting on the Lord and going to the Lord, we really don't try to find it out through prayer. We try to work it out ourselves and find out ourselves. And after we try all of those possibilities, then we come back and say, oh yeah, God, I need to come back to You and ask You to show me what You're saying here and what You want in my life, and we turn back to God. What we need to do is to come to God first. Always come to God first. Go to God in prayer first, like a father would want his son to come to him. Have you ever heard this statement? Well, why didn't you come to me first? Have you ever heard that? You've had people say something bad about you somewhere, and then you went to him and said, well, why didn't you come to me first? Well, sometimes that would be like a father or son. Well, son, why didn't you come to me first? I could have helped you, or a daughter and a mother. I could have helped you. Go to God first. You know why? A lot of reasons. One, He's more accessible than anybody else. Did you know you never get a busy signal from God? I think there's an old-fashioned gospel song about that. You won't ever get a busy signal from God. And you will not get a busy signal from God. And God is everywhere present, and God is there to listen. And He's always accessible and available. And not only that, listen, He is 100% trustworthy. I've had some advice from some friends that I wish I hadn't taken. And some were not so trustworthy. But God is always trustworthy. So we are encouraged by Him to pray. He wants us to pray. And then the answer is promised. He gives us the promise. Call unto Me, and I will answer thee. Underscore that in your Bible. Call unto Me. Call unto Him first. Wait on Him. Have faith. Call unto Me, and I will answer thee. The answer is always promised. And God never disappoints. God is always, you see, we disappoint people. I disappoint people. I don't try to do it, but it happens. And sometimes we might make an appointment we cannot keep, or something we told somebody we would do and we find out we really couldn't do it, and so we disappoint them. But God doesn't work that way. God never works that way. You see, God always answers prayer. The number one question is to a lot of people, will God always answer prayer? Will God always answer prayer? And so many people ask that question. Recent request, you think about your own life. Has He answered your prayer? And when did He answer your prayer? How did He answer your prayer? But here's a question sometimes we might all ought to ask, the real question. And that is, how does God answer prayer? How does God answer prayer? Does God always answer prayer? Yes. How does He answer prayer? Sometimes, yes. He says yes. And that's really the answer we want to hear. We want to pray and we want God to say yes. And sometimes that's the only answer we hear, is if God says yes. But sometimes God says no. God says no. And God answers many of those prayers, all of those prayers, either with a yes, a no, and sometimes He says, wait. Just wait. I want some time in this. I have a reason for that timing. Yes, no, or wait. Now, when He says yes, we say, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We go tell everybody, oh, God answered my prayer, hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with that. We ought to give God the glory when our prayers are answered. And He said yes, He answered my prayer. We praise the Lord. But wait a minute. When He says no, and the hard times continue, do we still praise the Lord? Give thanks in almost all things? give thanks in all things? Do we just praise the Lord when He answers prayer and we get that glory hallelujah running up and down our spine and tell everybody about it? But what about when He says no? That can be a hard time. A lot of times, here's what we do. When He says no, we say, boy, it must be my sin. I must be living in sin. Must be something wrong with me. God didn't answer my prayer. God didn't say yes. There has to be sin. And we start searching, and sometimes we'll get very morbid about it. We don't know of anything, but we get so morbid about it. Is there sin? Is there sin? Is there sin? And here's what we're thinking. If there is no sin in our life, surely God will be obligated to say yes. There's no sin in my life. God, you must say yes. May I remind you tonight a lesson you need to be reminded of, and I do all the time, need to be reminded of. God is sovereign. And you know I'm not a five-point Calvinist, but I believe in the sovereignty of God. God is doing what God wants to do with me, with you, with our lives. God is sovereign in doing that. And some of us have what I call, and other preachers have called, the if-then philosophy. If I have no sin in my life that I'm aware of, then God must answer my prayer. And that's a wrong way to look at it. That's the wrong way to look at it. Many times, even though you're living right and there's no sin in your life, God in His grace says no. God says no. Why? He's wiser than you are. And I've seen some times He said no, and I sure am glad now He said no. And I sometimes counsel people, and I might say to them in this marital situation, you know, my advice to you would be to wait. My advice to you would be not to do that, not to go ahead and get married right now. I've seen some of those situations. Am I being mean to them? No. You see, I've seen enough and experienced enough and know people well enough and know a lot of their personalities well enough to know that that jackleg she's marrying isn't worth shooting. Or it may be the other way around. And I do a little research if I can, because I know that it was a lot easier in the smaller cities. I knew what was going on all the time. But I knew all the families. Everybody there in my former church was kin to each other. I was there 20 years. Everybody was kin to each other. You didn't dare say anything negative about anybody, because then you'd have the Hatfields and the McCoys that would be on you. And it would happen in a New York minute. It could happen. But many times I would counsel them to wait. You know, sometimes God says no, and sometimes He says, no, wait a minute. You got to wait. Romans 8:28 is true. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purposes. All things. And when God says wait, that's best. And when God says no, even if you have no sin in your life, that's best. We say yes, yes, yes. Yes, God, yes. God says no. No, it's not the right thing to happen right now. Do we really want His perfect will in our lives? We say we do. Do we really want God's perfect will in our lives? We talk like it, but sometimes I wonder if we really do. We must accept God's will for our lives, and that'll be the perfect will, and really mean that. What kind of responses do we have? Sometimes we rebel. We can either rebel or be submissive to God's will. When we prayed and given it to Him, we can rebel or we can submit to the will of God and to the Holy Spirit of God. And when we are submissive to God, then He brings glory through us to His name. I believe He brought glory through Jeremiah, don't you? It wasn't a great circumstance that he was in, but glory was brought to the name of God. And many times it is the hidden that is revealed. Call unto me and I will answer thee, and here it is, the third thing, and show thee, I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. They're hidden, you don't know them yet, but when you pray and go to God in prayer and really seek His face, Jeremiah reminds us what God said, call, I'll answer you, and I will show you great things, mighty things, great things and mighty things. Things that you don't even know about, things you haven't recognized or realized. In other words, the hidden is revealed. And decisions, many times we make our decisions based on something that might be our knowledge or our understanding or some of our experience we've had in the past, and we go by those rather than divine wisdom and God illuminating the situation for us. God will show us. God wants to reveal that. God wants to give us knowledge about His will. I don't have time to read all these verses, jot them down, but I can tell you that every time we pray, God wants to show us Himself. Philippians 3, 7 and 8. And then not only every time we pray does He want to show us Himself, but He wants to show us what He can do. John 15, 16. God wants to show us Himself, and God wants to show us what He can do. So we need to seek God, and we need to know the power of God as we seek God and accept His will for our life. Seek His face. When we seek His face, let's remember who we're talking to. Could I remind you that God and Jesus are not the man upstairs? And could I tell you that I think it's very irreverent when you say, now, you, mister, you got to do what you said you're going to do, and I'm commanding you and demanding you to do it. That is blasphemous. You don't talk to God like that. You have faith and you believe, but you don't talk to God like He's the man upstairs or something like that. We need to seek His face. Approach God with praise and adoration. Recognize His omnipotence. Recognize He knows everything, His omniscience. Recognize that He is everywhere present. That's the kind of God we're approaching when we go to Him and call on Him. Call unto me. Who's the me? Not the Pope, not me, not anybody else. The me is God. That's what He's saying. And He shows us His power, mighty. He unveils His will. He shows us His will. And so that happens. As a pastor, I have to pray, God, what is Your will? What is Your will for this church? What do You want us to do? And I'll be honest with you, sometimes that's very difficult to discern. And I have to go to God and, Lord, show me what to do next week and next month and next year. Let me know Your will, and God unveils His will. And then He just simply teaches us in His word that submission is required. When God does show us, then we are only wise if we submit to what He shows us, if we submit to His will. We cannot say no to His will and have sin in our life and all of those things and not submit to His will and expect God to show us and answer all of those prayers that we give to Him. And again, He says in verse 3, call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then I believe Jeremiah submitted to the will of God, and God blessed him. I think Jeremiah is a great Bible prophet and a great saint, don't you? Why? Because he submitted to the will of God. And that's why I imagine his name is in the Bible, and a book is written by him, and God honors this man because he was a man that would listen, wait on God, and God told him how to pray. And I believe in that he teaches us how to pray. Let's be prayer warriors this year and really get a hold of God. Call unto me, and he says, I will answer thee and show thee what? Great and mighty things. Wouldn't you like to see some great and mighty things happen in our church this year? Do you believe that they can happen? I do. Because we call on God and seek His face, and great and mighty things can happen. And God will take care of us if we'll do it. Let's stand, please. The greatest prayer that could be prayed by you is the sinner's prayer if you've never been saved. And it's very simple, where you recognize you're lost and you believe Jesus died for you and paid your sin debt. And you're willing to pray and ask Him to save you. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're willing to do that tonight, come and be saved. And I wonder how many Christians here would tonight say, by God's grace, I want to make this a year of this kind of praying, biblical praying, like God wants me to pray. Call unto me, and I will hear thee and answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He'll show us. He'll reveal his will. He'll bless us. May God help us to make some commitments tonight as we kick off this year of prayer to be prayer warriors. And I believe God will answer that, and God will show us great and mighty things. Father, I pray that you would guide us and direct us and help us that we would do what the Bible says. Thank you for letting us see what Jeremiah did, what you taught through him in his experience, his waiting on you, seeking your face, seeing what you had to say. Lord, help us to be prayer warriors, to go to you in prayer, spend many, many hours in prayer this year, seeking your face for our church, for our sweet families, for our own lives as individuals. Thy will be done in Jesus' name.